Okay, so there you have some references. In Acts chapter 19, let's look at an interesting verse there. Acts 19, verse 18. Many also of those who had believed, notice that, they were already believers. Many of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of all. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. These were people who had believed. They kept coming and confessing their practices. And some of those practices were occultish. And they took the things, the books that they had used to practice magic. They took them out in the sight of everyone and they burned them. Okay? So they're making a complete separation from their past in that way. Now, let's take a look at how you get into the occult. You want to know how to get into the occult? I'm going to tell you how to get into the occult so you can know how to avoid it. Why I'm telling you. First step into the occult is that you become curious. Curiosity. And so that's where you have to take your first stand. You don't need to be curious about the realm of the occult. You can find out all you need to know from the Bible. God told us all we need to know. Interest or curiosity is the first step. Second step, you play around with it a little bit, just for fun. And the third step, which is really the actual step into the occult, and coming in contact with the enemy, is mental passivity. In some way, you allow your mind to go passive, or you deliberately make it go passive. You sort of put your mind in neutral gear so that you can receive information from another source. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, like a city that is broken into and without walls, so is a man who has no control over his spirit. If you do not maintain control over yourself, but allow your mind to go passive, then you are entering into the realm of the occult. When we intercede, we are not allowing our minds to go passive. We are actively inquiring after the voice of the Lord. You should not be sitting around with your head blank or you're involved in the occult. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls, no protection, see? So is a man who has no control over his spirit. Why the Holy Spirit encourages self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And the next step is you get surprised that there's actually something real about it. It tells you something true. Something you couldn't know any natural way. You find out some knowledge that you had no way of knowing. Then the spirit that's operating, this is next step, number five, the spirit that is operating begins to win your trust by telling you a few true things. You begin to trust this way of finding knowledge. Number six, your personality becomes dependent upon this way of finding information. Oof. Still together? No. You won't find me doing that. What was that? Did you need? Okay. Number six, the personality of the person becomes dependent upon it. Some people come to the place where their whole lives are dependent on it. They won't go out of their house till they've read their horoscope or done their horoscope for the morning. You know, they've got to throw some I Ching and consult the book of I Ching before they'll go out their door or get out of bed. They come into real bondage because of it. Okay. So your personality becomes dependent on it. Number seven, fear begins to set in. Fear begins to set in. Number eight, extreme depression for no reason at all begins to happen. Fits of depression. Number nine, the person eventually is indwelt by the Spirit, if they aren't already indwelt by the Spirit. And then they begin to have thoughts of suicide. extreme torment. Usually it ends up at suicide. Kill yourself. Because that's what the demon has come to do. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Here's a look at some symptoms of occult bondage. Symptoms of occult bondage. This is so when you can look at your own life and see if you have any occult bondage in your life. It's also so that later, when you're dealing with people and they say, you know, I have trouble with, and you go, oh, have you ever been involved in, okay? You know, I get these severe headaches, but they're only when I pray or when I try to read my Bible. Ever been involved in meditation? Okay. First one, pride. Everybody goes, I got a occult bondage. No. Pride is a symptom of occult bondage, but it's a special form of pride, not just a normal, everyday pride that most of us have trouble with, okay, with temptation to pride. But it's a sort of least greatest syndrome. You either think you're the greatest thing the world has ever seen, or you're the scum of the earth, or you go back and forth between the two. No? Delusions of grandeur or of, you know, exactly the opposite of that. You know, you're nothing. You are everything or you are nothing. And either one of those extremes or going back and forth between the two. The symptom of occult bondage. I knew a girl once that thought that she didn't exist. And she had experiences emotionally and visually of her non-existence. Whew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second thing here, B. I'm going to give you letters this time. How about that? Time. Stay down. Time. I'll explain it. Look at me like that. Time. That is, funny feelings about numbers, days of the month, days of the week, times of the month, months of the year, anything like that. Oh, the number four is bad. I wouldn't want to get on a number four bus. See? That kind of thing. Or the funny feelings about the full moon. The only feeling the full moon gives me is, glory to God, look what Jesus did. The only feeling the full moon gives me. I like the full moon. But the demons have committed themselves. Is the moon full tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Isn't that nice? I can't see it. Where is it? Uh-huh. Well, almost full. Anyway, demons have committed themselves to work, especially around the time of the full moon. And so they've got a time then that has to do with something in the creation. It gets you involved, of course, with the sun or the moon or the stars, which God has also forbidden. And they've got it geared so that they have something they can give to someone that the person can commit themselves to. And so they can, like one woman did this. She was working a Ouija board with someone else. They had it between their knees. And a small gray sort of opaque lump appeared in the middle of the Ouija board. The needle went off the end. And there was this lump there. And she looked at it, and she could see through it, and yet she knew it was there. She thought, what is that? And then it began to slowly rise out of the board. And it was the top of the head of a person. It came up, and it was a woman, and she came up to about here, through the Ouija board, and said, I was a witch that was burned in the Salem witch trials, and da-da-da-da-da. Of course, all it was a demon. And the woman then... The demon said, the best time to get a hold of me is at the time of the full moon. And so the woman then went and circled every thing, you know, of the full moon in her calendar for the next whatever. And of course that was when she came and committed herself to, calling up that demon again, which eventually became a spirit guide for her. I was sharing with a person after they were a Christian and she was, something else. This woman expected that when she became a Christian, that the same supernatural kinds of things that happened in the realm of the occult would happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not the exact same thing, but she expected that God was going to move like that supernaturally. an experience being around her. You know, she'd call you up and tell you what you'd been doing and say, I think the Lord wants to speak to you about this. And you go, okay. She sat across the table from me one day and she said, Michael, you've had lots of prophecies over you before concerning the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, haven't you? And I said, yes. She said, why aren't you doing it? Well, she said, what do you need to do, Michael? What do you need to do to receive and start moving in the things that God's prophesied for you? What do you need to do? And I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I came up with all these things. And she said, nope, that's not it. And I just came up with all these different things. And she said, Michael, you need to accept it. Okay. So, anyway, lovely lady. Very in tune with the Lord. And boy, could she taught us, there's another brother and I that were there, she taught us the ways of the enemy like you wouldn't believe because she knew him inside out and backwards. It was really an education. where was I? Number C. Okay. Funny feelings about marriage. I know a lot of you have funny feelings about marriage, but I'm not talking about those kinds of feelings about marriage. A lot of you are going, oh, marriage, that's a funny feeling about marriage. Or some of you are going, oh, marriage. You know, but I'm not talking about those kinds of feelings about marriage. Okay, marriage is nice, but that's not what I'm talking about. In this case, it's that you should not get married because it is somehow unholy or unclean. It's something that you shouldn't be involved in. Something wrong, unspiritual. Those kinds of feelings about marriage. That's bad for you. Stay away from it. D. Funny feelings about foods. Especially certain kinds of foods. Especially meat. And especially that you should not eat it. Now, there are reasons why people do not eat meat that just are plain, you know, they're not occultish at all. They're just logical. You know, they don't eat meat because it's too expensive, or they don't eat meat because they don't like it, or they don't eat meat because, you know, whatever. I met a guy once that wouldn't eat meat because he'd been in India, and he used a no-meat diet to remind himself every time he saw other people eat meat of the poverty of the people in India, and would remind him to pray for the situation in the world of poverty. Well, no, that's okay. But when somebody tells me that they don't eat meat, I just start asking questions. I want to find out why don't you eat meat? And most of the reasons in the occult occult? Most of the reasons in Eastern religion are coming out of a bad view of reality, an unscriptural view of reality. And so those are bad reasons why we should abstain from meat. E, a strong inability to believe. A strong inability to believe. That is, a person's making an effort to believe and to trust, to commit themselves to God, but they find themselves just severely hindered in their faith, and they can't seem to figure out why. One witch said one time to a fellow who was witnessing to her, the guy was witnessing to her and said, you know, you can come to Jesus, you can be free, and she said, I want to. I really sincerely want to believe, but I feel something holding me back. Of course she felt something holding her back. And that happens to a lot of people. They find it very difficult to believe, and they don't realize that that's coming because they had some contact with the occult in their background. Six. An inability to remember truth. An inability to remember truth. Like the occult. I was speaking on the occult. And a girl was listening to me. And at the end of the lecture, she came to me and said, most of the time I can take notes. And I have no trouble taking notes. She said, on this lecture, as soon as you started speaking, I was not able to take notes. She said, I have nothing on my paper to be able to show for that. and I don't remember a thing you said for the past hour and a half. Blank. One fellow was witnessing to a person involved in the Baha'i once, and the guy was opened his Bible to show him something out of the Bible and said, see here where it says the na 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 na. And the guy looked at it and he said, you gotta be crazy, there aren't any words on that page. How about that for blindness? It goes beyond spiritual blindness. So not being able to remember truth can be a problem. I dealt with a fellow once that he could read the Bible. He so wanted to live for the Lord. He would read the Bible, and you could have him read a verse and then take the Bible away from him and say, what did you read? I don't know. He couldn't remember it at all. But when he got delivered from a whole lot of occult bondage, I sat him down with a Bible and I said, here, meditate on this passage until I come back. I came back a while later and I said, what did you read about? And he said, oh, it was so wonderful. It was about this and this and this and this and this and this, and he could remember it. And it tickled pink that he could remember a few verses. Okay, what are we? Seven? Number seven? G? Oh, dear. Getting headaches only when you pray, or only when you worship the Lord, or only when you read the Bible. Severe headaches, but only at those times. Some people get severe headaches no matter what kind of exertion they do, because of poor circulation or something wrong. You know, something could be something physical. But if you get headaches only when you read the Bible, or only when you pray, or only when you go to worship the Lord, then you need to check into whether or not you've got occult bondage. Talked to a fellow once who had this problem. He had been involved in TM for about a year, transcendental meditation. And so I said, look, you need to renounce that. You need to turn away from it. And so he did. Never had any headaches after that. Number eight, hearing voices. Now, sometimes people come to me and they're all geared up, you know, because they're expecting to lay a big heavy on me. And they go, Mike, I hear voices. And I say, well, what do they say? They're expecting me to be all blown away by the fact that they hear voices, you know. So it's not so important that people hear voices. The problem is, what do they say? Because demons say different things than a guilty conscience says. And you can have a severe problem with a guilty conscience and hear voices because of your guilt. Or you can hear voices because they're demons. Okay? But demons say different things than a guilty conscience does. And so it's not the problem is the person hearing voices, but what are they saying? Because you have to determine, is it guilt that they're hearing voices, or is it something occultish? I gave a tape to a fellow one time on occult bondage and let him listen to it. And it was very quiet in the building where we were, and a couple of us were having a very quiet conversation. He was in the back listening to this tape. So I came back into the room, and when he finished, and I said, well, what did you think of it? And he said, well, it was very hard to hear. Really? So there wasn't anything wrong with the tape recorder, was there? I said, no. It was hard to hear because of the people screaming all the time. Said, people screaming all the time? I said, there was nobody screaming. Nobody was making a sound. And he said, but I heard somebody out the back here, out the back window, that was just screaming all the time. So we spent a long night with him. Next morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, he was running around going, hallelujah, hallelujah. He was set free from all kinds of things. Was late to work. The sergeant asked him why he was late to work, and he said, I had a profoundly religious experience last night. And how is he going to tell the guy that he spent all night casting demons out of him? Anyway. But he was cute, little guy. Let's see. Where were we? Headaches only when you're praying, hearing voices. Automatic handwriting. Automatic handwriting. That's where a demon takes control of your hand and you write. And usually it's without any spaces between the words. Just write. Flip the page away, write. Then you put all the pages back together and your hand goes back under the control of the same demon and it goes and slices off all the words. You can read it. That's usually how it works. Beautiful scripts from other ages and that kind of thing. Well, demons can know that kind of thing because they've lived in people down through the ages. Oh, interesting thing. there was a guy that just got delivered at the farm not too long ago, and he was involved in Rosicrucianism, Satanism, witchcraft, sacrificed his cats to something or other demon, involved in all kinds of things. He came to the farm, got delivered, and he was thinking one day about an experience that he had had. And he said that he had believed for a long time in reincarnation because of this experience that he had had, where he, in his mind, relived all these lives. And he knew that he had been a Roman soldier and had died on such and such a battlefield. He knew how he was killed. He knew which way he fell. Everything about it. And it just down through the ages, he had all these lives that came back to him like that. And he said, now I understand what they were. He said, the demons lived in all of those people. And so they had memory of their lives. And I was just going through the memory of all those different demons. And it made me think that I had lived all those lives. But it was the demon who had lived in all of those lives. And so that delusion of reincarnation could be a doctrine of demons as well. In what way? Oh, that could be. Yeah, giving you information, and yet you could still be in your body. Yeah, through a hallucination. Okay, I found some Christians one time who were doing automatic handwriting. A woman was doing automatic handwriting, and her husband was helping her with it. And they were in such fear that they could not sleep. Spirit-filled believers now. They could not sleep with the lights off. Married couple. And I said, well, do you realize that that is involvement with the power of the enemy that you're involved in? Okay. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed because of ignorance. And, well, we told them what that was all about, and they renounced it and went home and burnt all the papers and burnt the pen, and they were up till 2 in the morning or something burning all these papers and having a grand time and slept that night with the light off. And it doesn't take long to get free from occult bondage if you're really serious about it. But I just pointed that out, that Christians, yes, can be involved in things that are occultish simply because they don't realize that they're occultish. They've never been taught. Okay, how do you get out of occult bondage? Now the good part. How do you get out of occult bondage? A, commit your life to Jesus as Lord. That's the first step. Your life must be committed to Jesus as Lord. Not just your Savior, because He won't be your Savior without being your Lord anyway. You've got to be your Lord first. If He is your Lord, He is your Savior. If He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior. They come together. Commit your life to Jesus as Lord. B, make a list of the occasions on which you were involved in the occult. Some of you who may have been deeply involved in the occult may have to pray and ask the Lord to help you remember, because part of occult bondage is also not being able to remember where you were involved. So you may have to pray and say, Lord, where was I involved? When I prayed concerning my occult bondage, I said, Lord, where was I involved? And the Lord brought things to my mind that I had forgotten for 12 years, hadn't even thought about. I went, oh, that's right, it was, wasn't it? And got set free. Changed my life. Make a list where you've been involved in the occult and make it specific. Individual events when you were involved in the occult. Ask the Lord to help you with it. C, renounce each place where you were involved individually. Don't lump them together. Renounce each thing individually. And renounce means to speak against or cut yourself off from verbally. To say, I recognize I was involved in the power with the power of the enemy because I was involved in the occult. I recognize that's the power, a part of the power of the enemy. I'm not going to have anything to do with it anymore. I cut myself off from it. I will not be involved in, and you name the thing, anymore. That's renouncing it. You need to do it out loud with your mouth. Can you tell me why? Well, yeah. Well, that could be. There could be demons around and they need to know, but... No. What is the definition of the word occult? Okay, mysterious or secret knowledge. And the way that you destroy the power of mysterious or secret knowledge is that you make it public. You speak it out. Found some guys that had real trouble sometimes. I've only dealt with guys in this. Some guys, no, I have dealt with one girl. But some guys have had real trouble with trying to renounce their mantras when they were in Eastern religion. They found such difficulty saying it out loud. And that was just part of the bondage, that they couldn't say it out loud. Because it was a secret thing. Next step, D. You need to pray for healing. After each thing, when you renounce that involvement, then ask the Lord to heal you of any damage that occurred during that time. Say, Lord, I was involved in hypnosis, and I ask you to forgive me because I recognize it's wrong. I recognize it was contact with the enemy. I cut myself off from it. I won't have anything to do with it. Would you please heal me of any damage that may have come to me in my spirit, in my mind, in my body because of that contact? E. Destroy any remnants of your involvement with the occult. Any jewelry, clothes, any articles that have to do with the occult, books. Destroy any remnants, pens, anything. And F. Follow good Christian discipline. That is, pray, read your Bible, fellowship, worship the Lord. Just follow good Christian discipline in order to stay free. That's how you keep your deliverance. Live as a Christian. That's how you stay free. Okay, now I will not give you an assignment tonight. I don't like night assignments. Won't give you an assignment tonight, but sometime before, let's say, tomorrow night, I'd like you to pray about this. Okay? What good is truth if you're not going to put it into practice? You need to go to the Lord and say, is there any place where I've been involved in the occult and I need to be set free? You want to point out any occult bondage to me and get it all taken care of. Maybe you've already done that. If you have, great. Maybe... If you have, you can, and you know somebody else that may have occult bondage, you can ask them if you can pray with them and help them to pray if they want to. Or if your involvement in the occult involves things that may have been a bit, maybe a bit embarrassing or very personal, you can take a walk someplace where it's quiet, if you can find a quiet place around here. Take a walk someplace or find a room someplace and confess it by yourself. And then if any of you need help, then you can find one of the leaders or me or some. And if you want some help praying, if you start to pray and you find funny things happening to you or scary things, then just come and get us and we'll pray with you. Okay, let's pray before we stop here. Lord Jesus, you've come to destroy all the works of the devil. And we just pray that you do that in our lives. Anything that smacks of the power of the enemy, we just pray, Lord, that you'd reveal it by the light of your Holy Spirit, that you'd shine upon it, and that you'd show us what it is and help us to get rid of it, and that we might be free to glorify your name, to live in a way that pleases you, so that your heart can be made glad. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.